All right, nice to have you back with us. Time to look through the window of baseball for Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Let's bring in Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, how are you?
Hey, good, Marty. How's it going?
Well, interesting. Let's touch on yesterday. First of all, the romance and the drama lasted about 2 1/3 innings. That was about it yesterday. I guess it was somewhat predictable with the, maybe not for Hudson, but certainly for Zito. But what did you think of the beginning, the game, and all that?
Well, I mean, you know, the best part of it was the prelude. You know, wearing the high socks in honor of Zito, everybody wearing Hudson's uniform. You know, they're warming up on the mounds together, and just, you know, everything about it was the lead-in. You know, the press conference, reading, you know, some of the retrospectives and thinking about what these guys meant. I mean, nobody expected it to be scoreless in the sixth, you know, and I mean, poor Hudson. You know, I mean, you knew it had to be. It had to be his hip or something. I mean, walking two guys with the bases loaded and then hitting a guy, I don't think he's ever done that. And he felt so bad. I mean, you know, I was here. I was writing college football from here, so I was watching it on television. And, you know, you saw the fans applauding for like a minute to get him to come out of the dugout. And he's thinking, first of all, he stunk up the place. And he's also thinking, you know, is this the end? And he's sort of lost in thought there. But when they came back from the commercial, they said that he had come out. So I got to, you know, I saw that. But just... My main thought about yesterday, though, I mean, if I'd been out there, I would have been very tempted to ride Parker. I mean, for heaven's sake.
Really?
The hell was that?
Well, you know, it's amazing. And again, you know, it's, as I don't know if you just heard Henry on here, you know, talking a little bit about it. But when you get your pitch in life, you want to hit it.
Yeah.
He's getting his pitch in life and he's not missing it and he's hitting it a mile. How about that?
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. I mean, I just heard the little snippet of what Henry said, and it's so true. I mean, the Giants didn't really think this guy had what it takes to even be on a major league roster, really, from what they'd seen. And all of a sudden, he shows up an entirely new guy. You know, Mac Williamson was talking about his power in the minor leagues. You really don't know what to make of it. I mean, you hear, you know, people are emailing and tweeting, well, there's your center fielder next year. Where does he start, center or left? You know, and the fact is he's not going to start for the Giants, but if he comes out in spring training and shows, you know, this kind of power, he's obviously not going to hit 3 in a game or 5 in 3 days or whatever. But you know, you take it from there. You get him on the bench. You want him in the big leagues if you think he can handle that, or do you send him back to the minors? He's not that young of a guy. I mean, he could definitely be on the roster and then maybe play his way into the starting lineup. But that's the way it's going to work out. But it's a fascinating case about a guy that. We'd seen him a fair amount of times, few at bats, nothing, zero, you know, impact, and all of a sudden he's Babe Ruth.
Or Pablo Sandoval, or the other. But, you know, it just shows you how patient you have to be with young players. And here he comes up and, you know, gets 9 or 10 at bats and strikes out 7 times, goodbye. And, you know, you're not even here, but for the injuries that happen in September. But in the entire the number that gets me is the 3 homers in a game and the first rookie to do that in the franchise history. And you're talking about, you know, going back to Willard Marshall and, you know, Johnny Mize, and that, not that they were rookies, but there is a time the Giants, you know, hit the ball pretty hard. And then you go to the 60s and all that. So really, an amazing moment for this kid. And he looks like he wears it well. He took it well.
Oh, yeah. You know, we talked to him after the game, and he was we talked to him after Friday night. I was out there, and he hit that incredible bomb that may have been the longest home run ever hit at the Coliseum, you know, and he's a real, real humble kid. I mean, not given to, you know, boasting or anything. He really didn't have much to say except, you know, a smile on his face and happy that he's in the big leagues and doing something. But it's just so stunning. What he pulled off. You hope he's not, you know, Tuffy Rhodes. Maybe Kevin Elster had a 3-run homer game in the first game ever played at AT&T. It's like, what? He was hitting 8th in the lineup for the Dodgers, and he hit 3 homers, and I don't know if he hit another one after that.
No, I think his career total may have been 6, I think. And Tuffy Rhodes, of course, hit 3 in opening day in Chicago wearing a ski mask. That's how cold it was that day. I remember that.
You talk about that's baseball, huh? Yeah. We got a bunch of those on this
with the vines and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So they haven't even grown in yet. Well, last thought about Parker, though. You know, when you have that kind of power, One thing the Giants have lacked is power off the bench.
Yeah.
You know, they go to the bench and, you know, who are you going to bring in, Adrianza or this one or that one? And, you know, nothing can happen.
Yeah.
But this guy actually becomes a threat. See, coming off the bench is not just getting it done, but being a threat to get it done. And then making the other manager make a move or make the pitcher nervous. And he may be able to do that.
Yeah, the two things I really like about him, he's not at all fazed by facing left-handed pitching. And he's got this incredible power to the left, to the opposite field. And that's so in character with all these guys the Giants have brought up. They're all field hitters. But this guy takes it a step farther, and he's got just ridiculous off-field power and has shown it repeatedly. It's not just a guy who's getting a bunch of inside fastballs and he's dead pulling the homers, and next thing you know, the pitchers figure him out, and you never hear from him again. I mean, the guy who sprays it around with that kind of power, I think, has a much better chance to stick. And, I'm trying to imagine, you know, Williamson and Parker being on the bench.
Yeah,
well, talk about some late-inning threats.
Well, and the way the game has changed now, and there's so many fastball pitchers that come in. Every bullpen comes in with guys throwing heat.
Yeah.
Now, you bring a guy like this off the bench who has that kind of power, who can hit a fastball, apparently, and has the Dave Kingman kind of power, where when you put the ball up in the air, it keeps going. He's got that backspin or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
That, to me, is his value. I don't think he's going to, you know, take left field away from anybody. You know, he strikes out a lot. But I think this guy off the bench becomes the threat that I've been waiting to see, and I think that's kind of where I see it, because the game today is fastball, fastball, fastball. Every guy they bring in is throwing 95. Well, maybe he can hit 95.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think Williamson's in the same category. I mean, he did a lot more in the minors. He had a great at bat against Doolittle Friday night. He's ready to go. He's had his time in the minor leagues. I don't think he'd be at all disappointed to be on the bench. And I think he's gonna jack out a couple and show what he's got in these last few games. That, you know, ideally, he hit the ball real hard Friday night a couple times, and you know, another guy with fantastic power, strikes out a lot. It's going to look bad, and Parker's not a great outfielder. I think Williamson might have a little bit of edge there. He definitely has the good arm. So, you know, it's just like you say, that's such a good point, though. When you're just looking at Adrianza and you know, who's on the bench, who's left, who's going to hit into a double play here. And all of a sudden, it's just the threat of a guy who can hit it out is refreshing for them.
Yeah, and he's young enough where you can learn. And the other thing on Williamson, and we'll leave this in a second, but the arm was tremendous. He comes back from Tommy John surgery and then uncorks a throw from right field that was just outstanding to see that, almost threw the guy out of third on a fly.
Yeah.
But he just needs at-bats. He is a Wake Forest College kid. He's a very coachable kid, very coachable. Mm-hmm. He'll tell you exactly what he's got to work on to be better. And I think for Williamson, he just needs at-bats. I think Williamson becomes one of those more than likely next year back at AAA, and then he becomes a call-up when they need him, just like the Duffies and the Tomlinson and people like that. I think he just needs at-bats.
Well, yeah, that's true. He does. Somewhere there's a fine line in there somewhere between getting his at-bats and where he's done all he can do in the minors, and it's time to make that next step. So, yeah, that probably happens earlier mid-season next year.
Yeah, we saw that with Belt.
Yeah.
All right, Toronto. And they, for the 25th time, they scored 10 runs or more. They're 24-1 when they do it. I guess they probably should be 25-0. I don't know how they lost the game doing it. But I'm starting to buy in here. Just watching these guys and Russell Martin behind the plate. The one thing is the bullpen with the kids in the bullpen. You know, Bruce, to get it done in October, you only have to win 11 games. You don't have to win 97. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can kind of get it done. But, boy, that bullpen, you got to have the core four like the Giants had. I wonder about that bullpen.
Yeah, they did get a big boost when Stroman got back in the rotation, so that it looks like they're going to be okay there in these short series. But, that's probably – it's hard to see them going all the way because of that. I mean, Kansas City got to the World Series in the American League last year with just nothing short of a phenomenal bullpen, just three guys that just lights out almost every time. And that's what wins, and that's what's won for the Giants. So they're going to be fun to watch, and I hope they do go deep because I love watching Donaldson and Batista and Encarnacion. Oh, my God, these guys just raking. and really, really entertaining. The most entertaining Toronto team for me ever. I've never enjoyed watching a team, the Toronto team, even in the 90s when they were winning a couple of titles.
How about Bautista? I mean, you know, just look at his last 5 or 6 years. And what he's done, and he plays in Toronto. Nobody ever talks about him. Joey Bats, that's the best thing he's got going. He's got a nickname. But but I'll tell you something, he hits line drive home runs. He hits a ball, and it is gone.
Yeah, Encarnacion's the same way. Just frightening, really. I mean, these guys take there's no doubt what they're up there to do. And I think for both of these guys, it's really rewarding that they're going to get a stage like this. They're going to be you know, it's not going to be the wild card game. They're going to be playing a real series. We're going to get a pretty long look at them, and it's their chance to really make a splash.
Yeah, and if you know they're in a fight with Kansas City here for the home field, and if they get all the game, more of the games in Toronto, which they will get, it'd be nice to see them get the top pick, the top home field, because then they would get the wild card game at home. And if somehow Houston gets into this thing, getting Houston at home really favors Toronto because Houston does not play well. So I think for Toronto, it's important to try to beat Kansas City for home field.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's stunning to see what Kansas City has done. You know, it's very surprising for them. They came back. There were people doubting them as far as they could they get back to the playoffs, and then they have the best record in the league, like by far. They run away with the division, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, Cueto isn't happening. They lose. Was it Davis that's lost his closer job?
Holland.
Holland. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And you know they're taking some hits and they're kind of lurching their way into this thing. But they could turn it around real fast. It's going to be great. You know, I hope Mike Trout gets in too, especially after that catch he made yesterday. That's one of the best I've ever seen.
Wasn't that amazing? And they just laughed afterwards.
No, he just do it. He made it look ridiculously easy. So he's got his glove like 4 feet over the top of the wall.
Right.
He got up there like it was nothing.
Yeah.
Just like he does that every day. Well, he does do it every day.
This is good. This is going to be a lot of fun. Looking at the Mets for just a second, Terry Collins. Do you know Terry Collins, Bruce? You ever talk with him?
Yeah, but I never covered him. You know, to the point where he'd know who I am. I mean, yeah. I've been in the room with him.
Me too.
Yeah, you know, I always thought he was wound a little bit too tight.
Exactly. Remember when he was with the Angels?
Yeah,
wasn't Rod Carew there in Boa? I think the place almost blew up.
Yeah, I thought we'd never see him again. Really, it's impressive that what he's done this year has been terrific, and he got wound up pretty tight over the Harvey thing, where he was popping off in the papers and being really honest about how he couldn't stand the way the Harvey thing was going down, but. But they had a nice little reconciliation yesterday. Harvey said, "Hey, I'm out there. Let's forget about this. I'm out there." He got into the seventh, and I'm real happy for Collins because he was doubted by basically everybody.
I mean,
this guy's he's just a hothead. You know, you can't persevere. Here he is in New York, you know, fighting off the Washington Nationals with a good, you know, but not great lineup. Then he gets Cespedes, which is like a delivery from the gods, and they're coming into the playoffs, and you know, good for him. He's got a great young pitching staff, and that's you know, the Mets and the Dodgers is going to be another tremendous thing to watch.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be something. They had a graphic on MLB this morning that Collins is the oldest manager ever to win a first title. Of course, now he's 66. Kindly old Bert Schotten, as they said in the movie. I love that line.
His first name actually was Kindly. Right, it was Kindly Bert Schotten.
I'm not going to get in your way. Don't worry about Kindly old Bert Schotten. And he didn't. They ended up winning the pennant in 47.
Yeah.
And then there was Ned Yost at age 61. So Collins is the oldest. And I agree with you. He was tightly wound. I remember him with the Angels coming in. And I think Bo and Carew were coaches with him. And it was always a lot of – the place was just very strange. But I'll tell you something. He's got the pitching,
and I'll tell you,
Bruce, he's got the pitching, and he's got a guy every single day that could go out and throw 6 or 7 shutout innings. And I think that's the story. I think the Mets – you got to show me you're going to beat the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, just a few days ago when they weren't sure about Harvey, they were thinking, well, we'll just go with 4 kids in the playoff rotation, and then you still have Harvey and Cologne. I mean, that's deep.
Yeah. Well, you have Nice in there coming out of the pen, but you got Syndergaard, You got Mats. You know, DeGrom became an afterthought because he had a few rough starts lately.
Yeah.
And they've kind of pulled him back a little bit. For a while, DeGrom was the best pitcher in the National League.
Yeah, he was Arrieta there for a while.
Yes, he was. And he's now like, DeGrom? Oh, yeah, I guess he's on the team. This is going to be it. Now, all right, Giants today, Dodgers today, they play at the same time. I'm kind of hoping that this thing lasts into the week. And if the Dodgers are going to win it, I want them to look right at the Giants. The Giants look right at the Dodgers and say, let's play hardball.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they need the Giants need to win and a Dodgers loss. That would get it down to six as they play the four. And if you sweep them, you know, you got three games left and you're down two. You never know. That would mean that the Dodgers are clearly gagging and might, maybe could give up the whole thing. But they need, you know, today's a big day in that regard. But even if it doesn't work out, you're still going to be looking at the Dodgers trying to get that home field.
Yeah.
So it's the Giants, and those games are going to be pretty riveting no matter what.
Yeah, Peavy, Bumgarner,
Kershaw again. Yeah,
and you got Leak in there, too.
Good start for Leak.
Yeah, I always say the chances of the Giants winning the division would be the same as you being the point guard for the Warriors next year.
Or the Pope.
Right. The Pope go to any games? Is he talking ball at all?
He was a great third baseman. He played the hot corner. They love the Pope over there.
You're thinking of Dave Pope.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
For the Cleveland Indians. Or Paul Owen. So Jerry Krasnick had that line the other day when the Pope came to the United States. He said, gee, I always thought the Pope was Paul Owens. Remember the general manager?
In Philadelphia, they have a separate Pope, Paul Owens.
Right. And Paul Owens saved them. Come on, Paul Owens ended up taking over.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. How's your day today?
That's good. Got a couple of friends over. We're watching football right now, watching the Raiders.
Okay.
And I'll probably be catching up with the Giants a little bit later after the Niner game just to stay live on the NFL for a day. But it's not a working day, so it's all good. A little barbecue and yet another good day on the sports TV menu.
I want to be you when I come back in the next life.
I was going to say that about you, Marty. What the hell?
Right. You had a headline, and I didn't read the story yet, something about being safe on the couch with Cal. What's that all about?
Well, I was just watching that Cal game yesterday, and they're up six, and here comes Washington with a couple minutes to play. And if you followed Cal, especially recently, you know, with these games that are like 60-58 or 45-44, you just know that Washington's going to score and probably kick the extra point, and they're going to lose. And I just, you know, there's people that have followed Cal that are like, they're hiding behind the couch, or they went out to mow the lawn or change the oil or something. Just can't watch. I can't watch this. And I was, being a Cal grad, I mean, I was kind of in a cold sweat myself there. But they pulled off a defensive play to end it, which was very refreshing, so I just kind of wrote it around that. It's back on page 90.
I'm going to read it. I just didn't get to it this morning, but I saw the blurb, the tease. But the Florida Gators won. They beat Tennessee. And every time the Tennessee comes in, I just see Phil Fulmer and Peyton Manning. And Florida always – they won 11 straight over Tennessee, so –
that's a good stat.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. How about Oregon? One more thought. Oregon gets 62-20. What? This is Oregon, the school Oregon, right?
I think it was Oregon Tech.
Really? And this is the Ducks, right?
And Utah AT&T. Yeah. It was the Ducks. They got crushed at home by Utah. I don't know what's going on there. I haven't seen a lot of Oregon so far. You know, they don't have Mariota, and apparently they don't have any defense either.
Apparently 62. I mean,
good Lord.
Really. All right. Good to chat with you, and looking forward to next week. Maybe more than likely our last shows, and we'll talk a lot of playoff baseball next week. Thanks, Bruce.
Sounds great, Marty.
All right. Thank
you. Talk then.
All right. That is Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Always a pleasure on Sunday morning. All right. More coming up right here on the Sports Leader.